It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Older adults and people with disabilities in Wisconsin are facing an epidemic of loneliness and social isolation, according to the State Department of Health Services.
American Rescue Plan Act funds are tackling the issue using state grants.
Last year, Portage County received $58,000 to expand its social infrastructure through the Rural Community Connections Task Force.
And this winter, federal funds are helping the task force bring people together at social gatherings and small communities throughout the county.
Two of the organizers join us now. Dana Lawson is the Health Promotion Coordinator for the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County, and Kate Giblin is the Task Force Coordinator and the Senior Center Manager with the ADRC of Portage County. Dana, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having us.
And Kate, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Kate, take us to the origins of this Rural Community Connections Task Force. Where did this idea come from to try to help provide social connections?
So when we heard about the grants that were coming out to tackle social isolation and loneliness, I thought a lot about how in this area and in a lot of rural communities, we have, you know, a county seat where there's lots of resources. And then the majority of Wisconsin, which is rural and has, you know, it's a little less dense, you know, transportations are, you know, we see a lot of these types of issues. And so I thought, how can we connect people in those communities and draw on the strengths that already exist in rural, smaller rural Wisconsin communities? And so we thought that pulling people together specifically to find ways to highlight, strengthen, and reinforce our connections in rural communities would be a really good project for the grant.
Kate, what kind of barriers are there in rural areas to making social connections, especially for seniors?
You know, we have lots of seniors who recognize the value of being connected. Those who are not tend to be facing multiple kinds of barriers, especially in rural areas, are barriers of transportation. So, you know, especially in the wintertime at the Lincoln Senior Center, we offer a lot of exercise classes, art classes, dance classes. But if you live just 15 miles away, getting here can be a real barrier. Additional barriers we find is that, you know, people feel like they're not that old, and so they don't need to, you know, engage in programming specific for older adults. And so in trying to tackle some of those barriers, we've been involving, you know, our central transportation department here to look at what are the root causes of people not utilizing transportation that exists and where are their gaps. And we've also been, you know, looking at these events as ways to, instead of siloing people into here are the older people, here are the younger people, here are the working families, to try to gather a whole community together at all ages to try to make a more vibrant, you know, opportunity for different connections.
And Dana, you're the health promotion coordinator there for the resource center. And people might think, okay, loneliness or isolation, and think, okay, those are bad, but health issues. And there's been a lot of emphasis on that lately. Can you talk about social connection as a health asset for people?
Yeah. So actually, I'll start with how social isolation affects that. So living in isolation reduces our chances of survival, actually, which I think a lot of people don't know. And social isolation increases our risk of premature mortality by 29%, which is a significant amount. It's really important to develop, to nurture your relationships and expand your network to have a number and a variety of relationships. And that's what's really going to help your health overall. So basically, social connection affects our biology, which would be our stress hormones, our inflammation, gene expression. It affects our psychology, our meaning and purpose. That would be stress, safety, resilience, and hopefulness. And then it also affects our behaviors, such as physical activity, nutrition, sleep, smoking, treatment, things like that. So then in turn, those processes affect outcomes like our health outcomes, such as heart disease, stroke, diabetes. There's just so much evidence behind how social connection can affect your health. And, you know, on the flip side, how social isolation can affect your health as well.
And Kate, I understand you wrote and applied for the state grant that's helping you do some of the work that we're going to talk about in a minute. Can you talk about your goals in that grant, what you were hoping to accomplish with those health outcomes that Dana was just talking about?
One of the major goals behind these grants was to try to increase home and community-based supports. So That means looking at potentially recruiting volunteers to be home delivered drivers for Meals on Wheels, and just a variety of making sure that we have social supports and connections in our communities to enable people to stay in their homes longer and to stay in their communities longer. So my goal with this grant was to provide an opportunity for placemaking. So in rural Portage County, there are existing places where people can gather and connect with each other. And so we're hosting these specifically as often as possible in places that already existed for social connection. So community centers, church, schools, we're doing different camps and things like that to highlight those places. Then we reached out to the communities and are asking for the communities that already have some organizations, volunteer groups, different types of ways that people are already connecting in those places to, you know, highlight those groups and to connect people to other opportunities for either connection or for volunteering. And so it's kind of a multi-pronged approach to try to build a connection to the community and to bring resources from like the center of our county, Stevens Point, out to the more rural areas. And at the same time, to try to also highlight that it's just a really good opportunity in the middle of the winter to get out and socialize. What I notice, you know, in the summer is we have concerts in the park and there's all kinds of opportunities and it's easy to get around because, you know, the roads are safe. And those events give such a sense of community. And so we decided to try to do it in the season that is the toughest barrier, which was winter. So it's been really exciting. A lot of the events, they have kind of a summer feel because we brought in musicians. So there's music playing. We have, you know, baked potatoes cooking. So the whole place smells like food. And then there's games and kids and, you know, older adults and just this real sense of community and showing that you can do that in the winter. You can do that in small places. You can do that in rural areas.
We're talking about a rural task force in central Wisconsin expanding its efforts to reach older adults at risk of a social isolation and loneliness. The Rural Community Connections Task Force in Portage County. We got two people involved in that, Kate Giblin and Dana Lawson. Now, Kate, take us into the events. You've had a couple now. I understand there's still a few to go. Who are you hoping arrives at these? What are you hoping that they get out of it?
Yeah, our kickoff event here in Plover, Wisconsin, at one of our new community spaces, which is the Food and Farm Exploration Center. We had a huge turnout. It was over 350 people. We had music playing in two different parts. People were able to explore the exhibit and get some food. And so it was just incredible. That Plover is basically, you know, right next to Stevens Point. So we were expecting a large turnout. The next event we had was in Amherst, Wisconsin, at the Jensen Community Center. That was a little bit smaller turnout, but still over 100 people. Our next event is coming up. It's a Saturday event, so that'll be our first Saturday that we're trying. So weekends, so people are maybe more able to get there at the Lions Camp in Rochelle, Wisconsin. After that, we'll be down in Almond Bancroft at the Almond Bancroft School and then heading out to Junction City at Kennedy Elementary School. Those will all be on Saturdays, hoping that we can, you know, make sure that everyone in the community can be there. So what we were seeing at our events was grandma and mom and dad and grandchildren all together coming out and having a good time and learning about some opportunities to volunteer. We've had senior groups come out that are looking for new members, and they're reporting that, you know, people are signing up to join a sewing group, or they may be realizing that their kids could be more involved with 4-H. And so it's just kind of been one of those, you know, if you build it, they'll come kind of moments. And we've had a really great turnout. We have over 39 organizations that have been involved with the planning and execution of this. So at each event, there's usually between 20 and 30 different groups who come out, and they're setting up tables, they're setting up games, and just kind of having fun. Because, you know, I think that that sense of community, that sense of fun, the kids running around, people laughing, music playing, gives people that desire to continue to connect in that way and to want to be part of something bigger.
Dana, do you get a sense meeting people at these events that not only are they enjoying this, but they're hungry for more? They're looking for more opportunities to get out and connect with other people?
I definitely do, actually. We brought flyers with to the last two events for the future events that are coming up, and people are taking them. So many people just are taking those and they're asking questions. Oh, who's going to be playing there and what food's going to be there? And I see them picking up different opportunities from the different resource tables and partner booths and things like that. And people are excited. They all want to become involved. And it's amazing to see this all come together.
Kate, it seems like one of the biggest challenges here might be reaching that person who say, you know, as they've been aging, they've been a little less connected over the years, and then they don't have that communications network that lets them find out about things like this, though they might enjoy them and benefit from them. How do you reach out to that part of the community?
That is such a good question, and it's something that we grapple with all the time here. What we've noticed is that, you know, we can buy an ad campaign, we can send out newsletters, we can post things on social media, but the most powerful way that we are reaching people who might not necessarily be ready to come out or maybe hesitant to, you know, connect is actually from the informal social networks, the word of mouth. And so what we see repeatedly, no matter what we're doing here, is we always survey, like, how did you learn about this event? Most consistently, it's my friend brought me, my friend told me about it. It's all word of mouth. And that word of mouth endures. So we might have someone who comes out because they saw it on a flyer, but when someone connects to them and broadens that social network, it is a longer lasting relationship that develops with a community center, with a place, with an organization, with volunteer opportunities. And so what we're finding is that the more enthusiasm that we can bring and the more strong experiences people have with making connections, they're doing that work of expanding that network and expanding those circles. And those connections that are made in that way are very durable.
Dana, can you make the case for people listening maybe right now to check out their local senior center or other organizations, whether they're in Portage County or anywhere in the state?
Yeah, definitely. There are so many supports and opportunities to stay connected, to improve your health, to get help with your taxes, you name it. There are so many opportunities that can help you in your life. And it just takes looking at your local senior center or, you know, your local health and human services. Just reach out to them, see what they can offer, and I can guarantee they can help you.
And Kate, if there are people in other communities wanting to steal your idea and do what you did and host that series of events in smaller communities, what would you recommend to them on how to get started?
I think that, you know, obviously anyone can always reach out and I'll give them the backstory on how that works. But just pulling together a group of people who have a common interest, what we find with social isolation as a topic is that that connects to so much work that other groups are doing. So the group that's tackling, you know, mental health, the group that's tackling substance abuse, a group that's tackling, you know, any number of issues, these groups already exist, and they all have this common thread that isolation is impacting their work. And so it was really easy to kind of gather everybody under one banner because these issues, you know, of community connection weave through a lot of the things that are already going on.
We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us. Kate, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Dana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Kate Giblin manages the Lincoln Center Senior Center in Portage County through the county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. Dana Lawson is the Health Promotion Coordinator for the local resource center. They're part of the Rural Community Connections Task Force in Portage County.
And they're helping people make connections in their community. What about yours? If you live in a rural part of the state without many people nearby, what keeps you connected with your friends and neighbors? What keeps you getting together with them? Let us know. Tell us who's making those events happen and those hangouts possible. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
Did you ever wonder about something in Wisconsin, but you didn't know who to ask for an answer?
WPR's Wisconsin project may have the answer you're looking for. We'd love to hear your questions. What do you wonder about Wisconsin or its people that you want WPR to investigate?
It could be something serious or maybe a little bit off the beaten path. Past Wisconsin questions have tackled the origin and meaning of the word ope, as in ope, just going to slide past you there. And why is Michigan's Upper Peninsula part of Michigan instead of Wisconsin? Hint, it had to do with Toledo, weirdly.
Submit your question and hopefully we can find an answer. Visit WPR.org/Wisconsin. That's W-H-Y. And thanks so much for being a part of this. And thanks for listening to Wisconsin Today. Tomorrow on the show, we'll check out the impact of the avian flu that's affecting chickens and wild birds and look at the potential for more spread to cows and people.
And we want to hear if it's affected your life. If you raise chickens on a farm or in your backyard, are you taking more precautions now than usual? Are you watching for that disease in your birds?
And with the high price of eggs and limits on egg purchases in some grocery stores, is this changing the way you cook? Are you dialing down the egg recipes and what's taking their place?
There are a couple of ways to share your experiences with us. You can email. The address is wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's all one word, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Or you can call or text. That number is 888-642-0232, 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.